You're listening to the Chronicles of Iguna, the Arsenal podcast.
I'm Martin Tyler, and you're listening to Harry Simeon.
Hello and welcome back to another live edition of the Chronicles of Iguna, the Arsenal podcast brought to you by 90 Min. As ever, I'm your host, Harry Simeon. And on this edition, we're going to be discussing the future of Matteo Guendouzi. We're going to be discussing Solomon, the guy linked with a move to the Emirates Stadium. Reports have been doing the rounds regarding the Israeli winger over the last few days. So we're going to be discussing a little bit about him. And we're also going to be discussing the reports that Arsenal are preparing a bid for Emiliano Buendia. We touched on that a little bit on the program earlier, but we're going to go into it in a little bit more detail. This is a little bit more of a transfer window based show, this one. So let's get into it without further ado. First of all, actually, let me say good evening to you all, because there's lots of you in the live chat already. Incredible to see the support. Big hello to Marty, to Graham Sutherland, to Omar, to Davon, to Russ, to David Arsenal, who says, good evening, babyface, looking good. Yep, babyface for a few days longer, and then it'll all be back. Don't worry about that. It's the Greek genes, you see. Big hello to Louis Robson, and a massive thank you to David, who's just signed up to become a member of our YouTube channel. Thank you so much, mate. Really appreciate your support and everybody else's support. And like I said, even if it's just watching the videos, even if it's just hitting the like button, I appreciate all of you. So thank you very much. Right, let's get into the Matteo Guendouzi discussion. Do you know what? One second, I've just left my notes over there. Hold on. Look how unprofessional this is. Bloody hell. Here he goes. He's back. Sorry about that. Terrible of me. I sat there making notes so that I could put together a really good informative podcast this evening, and I left them on the desk over there. Shocking. Right, let's get to it. Matteo Guendouzi is going to return to the Emirates Stadium. Not now, though. Let me stress that point. Matteo Guendouzi looks as though he's going to remain with Hertha Berlin for the rest of the campaign, but it does feel like now there is no two ways about it. Matteo Guendouzi will return to the Emirates Stadium come the end of the season. Of course, he had that falling out with Mikel Arteta. We know that the pair's relationship was strained after the incident at Brighton and after a number of other things that went down during the early days of Mikel Arteta's tenure. Arsenal, I think, would have probably hoped to have sold him in the summer, but unfortunately it wasn't to be. They were unable to get a buyer. They were unable to raise the funds from Matteo Guendouzi. And as a result, he went out on loan to Hertha Berlin in the Bundesliga. Now, Bruno Labbadia, the boss of Hertha Berlin, has been talking about Matteo Guendouzi, and he's been highly complimentary of him. He said he's got a real sense of space and is very technically skilled. He also spoke about how pleased he was to have recruited Matteo Guendouzi. Felt like it was a really good piece of business. But Bild, the German outlet, are saying that Arsenal's valuation of Matteo Guendouzi, which they say is £29 million, is too high for the Bundesliga club, meaning that it looks as though he's going to return at the end of the season. So any hope of Arsenal potentially striking a deal with Hertha Berlin that would see Matteo Guendouzi join them on a permanent basis seems to be dying, because, as I said, the fee that they're asking for just feels a little bit OTT in the eyes of Hertha Berlin. And you know, Arsenal only paid £7-8 million for Matteo Guendouzi, so they stand to make a huge profit if somebody can somebody can meet that valuation. But it does feel like, given the current climate and given the things that have gone on with Matteo Guendouzi over the last few months, that it's a little bit ambitious. It's a little bit ambitious asking for £29 million for this player. Let's have a look at what he's done with Hertha Berlin so far this season in the Bundesliga. He's made 10 appearances. He's been named man of the match on one of those occasions. and his average performance rating, according to WhoScored.com, stands at 6.91 out of 10, which is a solid, you know, solid marking, just under 7 out of 10, which is pretty solid. And, you know, as I said, Bruno Labbadia, very happy with Matteo Guendouzi, enjoys working with him, he says, calls him a leader, says that he's not afraid to bark out instructions to his teammates, despite not having a great knowledge of the German language. So Matteo Guendouzi is making an impression at Hertha Berlin, but is it enough of an impression to persuade them to go and spend £29 million? Even if they wanted to, you could argue that that is impossible for Hertha Berlin. So we're going to have to wait and see what's going to happen. Looks as though he's going to be heading back to the Emirates. But the issue I have now with that is, and this is just my opinion, you know, this is just a bit of a theory. So feel free to chip in the comments. Let me know what you think about it. But with Matteo Guendouzi and everything that's gone on between him and Mikel Arteta, you wonder if coming back to the club is the right move for everybody. You know, if he comes back, he'll have to do a hell of a lot to persuade Mikel that he warrants a place in the side, number one. Number two, he'll be coming back with just a year remaining on his contract. And then you could find yourself in a position where you bring him back, you welcome him with open arms, you play him week in, week out, he continues his development, he really shows himself to be a really, really top player, and then he walks away from the club at the end of the season on a free transfer, because it feels like a lot has gone on between him and Mikel Arteta. Is there any turning back? Is the relationship so broken that it can't be repaired? Is this another kind of example of, well, another situation similar to that of Mesut Ozil, where the damage feels like it's very much done? And is there a way back from that? Maybe not. So it will be interesting to see how that develops. You know, it's not an ideal situation that he'll only have 1 year remaining on his contract when he does return, because that could potentially lead to Arsenal having to watch him walk away for free at the end of that season, particularly if he's played and he plays well. The other side to that is if he doesn't play, you know, then who's going to come in for him? You know, and so there's two sides to this, of course, and it's a really, really difficult one. And we're going to have to wait and see how that develops. But interesting, Hertha Berlin are not looking to sign Matteo Guendouzi on a permanent deal. That's not because they don't like him. It's because they feel that Arsenal's valuation of the player is too high. You know, I've got to be honest. If Hertha Berlin made an offer of £18 to £20 million, given what we paid for Guendouzi, I think I'd probably take it. Because as I said, I don't know if he can come back. I don't know if coming back is right for anybody involved. I don't know if he comes back and, you know, sulks because he's not happy with Mikel Arteta, who we imagine at this point is still going to be our manager by then. You don't know if he's going to come back, play well, and then we're going to end up having another one of our classic scenarios where we're scrambling to keep a player who is wanting the exit door and coming dangerously close to the end of his contract. So there's a lot to consider in this, I think, and we're going to have to wait and see how this whole situation progresses. But it feels like very much now that Hertha Berlin have made it clear that they don't have the funds, nor do they intend to pay that sort of price for Matteo Guendouzi. So could have him back at the Emirates come the summer. Will he get an opportunity again under Mikel Arteta? That remains to be seen. But yeah, 21 years old, shown at times that he's got potential. So we're going to, you know, so based on that alone, losing him feels like a bit of a kick in the teeth. But if the terms are right, i.e. the price is right, then I wouldn't be against that. That's my view, though. Let me know what you guys think in the live chat. Big hello to Nigos, who says, hello, my fellow Greek, love the show. Keep it up. Thank you, mate. Thank you for coming on. A few of you slagging me off for getting up and going and getting my notes from the desk. Sorry, guys. David says, love the content and happy to support. Looking forward to the next call-in to join. Yep, thank you so much, mate, and you're more than welcome on the phone-in shows. Make sure if you are already a member of the channel that you've gone into the community tab on the YouTube channel and found the Discord server link, so you can come and join us in the Discord server and we can all chat about Arsenal, chat about what it is you want to see on the channel regularly. So thank you. Marchin says, great news on the fact that Matteo Guendouzi, it looks as though he's set for an Emirates Stadium return, albeit at the end of the season. He said he's having a really good spell at Hertha. Brad Richardson, one of our members, says, we need Guendouzi's passion in the team. Let's hope his attitude improves. Alex says, sounds like he's been given a second chance and he needs to take every opportunity to kick on and cement a place in the team. Mohamed M says, so Socrates took over Harry's position at the Chronicles of Aguna. Interesting. It's not the first time I've been called that name, to be fair. Xander says, Guendouzi has a year left at the end of the season. Unless he builds bridges with Arteta, then he will be sold. I would offer him and some cash for Cunha, Hertha Berlin player, of course, who's been pretty impressive. It's from what I've seen of him. So yeah, I wouldn't be completely adverse to that. Louis Robson says, if he comes back, then we won't be signing another midfielder. Graham Sutherland says, that's a deal in the making, Harry. Yeah, I don't know. We're gonna have to wait and see. Lots of you pointing out that it is a very high fee, and it is. And I think it's going to be difficult to persuade anybody to pay that. Zissi says, I hope Matteo Guendouzi comes back with some maturity. There is no doubt in he's superior to Elneny. And Willock, I agree with that. I have this feeling that Arteta is single-minded and the water is not under the bridge just yet. However, the ball is in Matteo's court. It's up to him. Yeah, agreed. Like, if he comes back. And sometimes you've got to be a little bit, you know, for the good of your career, you've got to soften your stance a little bit, not just on Guendouzi's side, but on the manager's side as well. You know, if you feel that he can add something to the team, sometimes you need to just swallow your pride a little bit and let him play that role. You know, I'm sure over the years, we've seen so many footballers and managers who didn't necessarily see eye to eye all the time, but there was a mutual respect. The player produced, the manager appreciated it, and so they just got on with it. I'm sure there's been tons of examples of that. You know, Dennis Bergkamp has spoken since he left Arsenal about the fact that him and Arsene Wenger had some rows about his playing time. You know, people like Roy Keane, who had countless arguments with Sir Alex Ferguson, but he continued to deliver for Manchester United right up until the very end. So this is not an uncommon thing in football. I just think nowadays we know far more. And we hear of these situations a lot easier. There are more links. There are more outlets reporting this kind of thing. If Matteo Guendouzi returns to the club and Mikel Arteta feels, and put all that shit before to one side, if he feels as though Matteo Guendouzi can offer something to this team, then he's got to be wise about it. And he's got to do what will get him, you know, further along in his job, what will win him the support of the fans even more so, what will keep his team on the right path. And sometimes if you've got a player that's a little bit difficult to manage, but he brings you value on the field, you just have to go with it. You know, sometimes you have to put the greater good of the team ahead of your ego, ahead of you sort of being seen to be going back on your principles. It's about the team. It's about the results. And that is ultimately what Mikel Arteta is going to be judged on. So I think that if he feels he can offer something, then bring him back in the side. I'm not against that in any way, shape or form. Let's see what else you guys are saying with regards to the Matteo Guendouzi thing. David Adero says, I want Guendouzi to come back. Imagine him and Partey in midfield with a world-class central attacking midfielder. That would be amazing. A Skywalker says, Mikel Arteta can't work with young players who have a little ego and attitude problem. He probably doesn't like to be challenged. I think on the Mikel Arteta point, while we're on that, I think that Mikel Arteta felt when he joined the club that the culture here was so broken that he had to take that hard stance. Sometimes it's probably been to his detriment. Sometimes it's probably worked against him. We know that there have been situations where players have been unhappy with his management and, you know, various other things. And I completely understand all of that and I get it. But yeah, I feel like Mikel maybe took that approach because he felt that the things were so broken in the first place. Maybe a more experienced manager takes a little bit of a more in-between approach, you know, than Mikel did. Maybe he comes in and he puts his arm around some people. He takes a harsh stance with others, you know, or there's some kind of middle ground. I don't know if any of you have watched that Tottenham Hotspur documentary, because it's quite interesting. I know it's a bit of a show and it's all a put on, but I found it quite interesting. I know I shouldn't really be watching Spurs stuff, but I did watch that. And Jose Mourinho kind of does that in between thing where he came into the club. He put his arm around certain players. He massaged a few egos, told some home truths to the squad as a whole, but also picked certain individuals to make examples of. Probably tried to assess maybe who is popular in the dressing room, who will make an example of, you know, which players could he make an example of without upsetting the whole balance of the dressing room? Which players couldn't he do that to? And I found that really interesting. And I think that when you see that, you understand the difference between a very experienced, wily old coach like Jose Mourinho and somebody like Mikel Arteta, perhaps. So it's not necessarily a criticism of Mikel because he's still young, he's still developing, he's still learning. And I'm sure he has learned a lot more, or, you know, has learned a lot in this last year or so that he's been in the Arsenal job. So, yeah, that's kind of where I'm at on that. I think Mikel will develop. And I think for all the criticism we give him at times, we always, sometimes you need to just stop and check stock and realize that actually we, although we're Arsenal Football Club and we want instant success, we're going down a very different route now. We're going down a bit of a rebuild route. And also we have a manager who's going to be learning along the way. Whether you agree with that, whether you agree with that being the right decision or not in the first place is a totally different debate. But, you know, you have to take that into consideration, I think. Big hello to Jeff joining us from the States. He says it would depend on his attitude. If he realizes that his behavior was unacceptable during and following the Brighton game, we could use his talent. Talent is not everything, though, of course, referring to Mateo. Tom Chapman says Mateo is literally our second best midfielder behind Partey. What else have we got? Brad says Guendouzi will struggle to play for a bigger team than Arsenal. I hope he realizes this. Steve Stone says, evening, Harry. I know he is brave and comes looking for the ball, but miles too slow and predictable. He always gets caught in possession. I wish him well, but no thanks. Very mixed bag. Very mixed bag on the whole Matteo Guendouzi debate. Does he have a future at Arsenal? Is he someone you'd like to see brought back into the side? I want to give a special shout out to the members joining us this evening, to John, to Giovanni, to Graham, all the rest of you as well. Apologies if I've missed you. As I always say, this chat thing updates so quickly that sometimes by the time I finish responding to one comment, five or six have passed by, and then I've missed them. Topher says, hey, you, yes, you, smash the likes, please. Yes, please do smash that like button. It is really, really important for the growth of the channel, and also subscribe as well. Just if you're joining us a little bit late and you are interested in signing up to our membership scheme, if you click the link in the description below, it will take you to the page where you can see all the different tiers. You can understand how it all works, and you can make a decision as to whether or not you want to sign up. It's not compulsory, and you're not going to get any less content if you don't sign up, but you will get extra if you do. So thank you to those that have signed up already. Truly overwhelmed by the number of people that have joined us so far, and I hope to see many more of you as well in the not too distant future. There's a video as well. If you click on the community tab, I've posted the video there where you can see why I'm doing it. There's a little bit of an explainer video, so check that out as well. Right, let's move on to another discussion point. We've talked Matteo Guendouzi. We know that Matteo Guendouzi looks very likely to return to the Emirates Stadium come the end of the season. Why? Because Hertha Berlin feel that Arsenal's £29 million valuation of the player is simply too much. Moving on to the next story, though, Fabrizio Romano has told his people at The Guardian that an Arsenal offer for Buendia is in the pipeline. Now, it's really interesting, this, because this is really interesting because other sites and other outlets, most notably The Athletic, have made it clear that in their opinion, actually, there is no chance of Arsenal doing a deal for Buendia, because again, Norwich don't want to sell. The price is too high. The valuation is too high. Norwich are very much focused on promotion, and Arsenal were not willing to go and break the bank to get Emi Buendia. We had a little bit of a discussion about this on the previous show, but I just want to touch on it in a little bit more detail now. So that's what Romano's guys are saying. And Fabrizio Romano doesn't always get things right. I pointed that out on the last show as well. But he has got a very good reputation overall when it comes to dealing with transfers. I just think that, you know, as Arsenal Football Club, we have the power, should we wish. Well, you'd hope that we have the power. Under normal circumstances, we should have the power. As Arsenal Football Club, if we really want a Norwich City player who's playing in the Championship, we should be able to go and bully Norwich into selling that player. We should be able to go and make an offer that they would consider. Obviously, you don't start at the ending price, but you know we should go there and be able to table a bid that would make them consider it. We should be able to turn the player's head. We should be able to get in his ear to whisper, things about why Arsenal's the right place for him and why this is the kind of opportunity that won't come along every day and why he should persuade his club to take it, to take the money that's on the table. That's how you'd say this works ordinarily. Norwich are a very different proposition to many other clubs, though, in that kind of position, whereby they notoriously don't sell their players for cheap. They won't be bullied. They won't be pushed into it. Of course, they're chasing promotion, which, as I said on the last podcast, would be worth a lot more money than anything Arsenal would put on the table. I feel like I say this every time the Buendia chat comes up. But can you honestly, with any degree of confidence, and I'd like to get you guys to respond to this in the chat, can you guys honestly say that Buendia is worth 30 plus million pounds? Can you honestly say that? Can you put your hand on your heart and say that in a time like this, where money's difficult to come by, where the football transfer market, I feel, is going to have a little bit of a reset in terms of the value of deals that are going to get done? Can you honestly say that 30 plus 35 million, which is the price that Norwich are rumoured to, you know, maybe consider taking for him, can you say he's really worth that? Absolutely not. How can you? And if you disagree with me, by all means, get it in the comments. Let me know why. I'd happily read out your comments. 30 plus million is absolute madness for a player who's played once in the Premier League, for a player who's had one good season, had a couple of decent years in the Championship, but it's the Championship. And as much as people sit there and go, oh, you know, the Championship is a really difficult league, it's a really competitive competition, it's worlds apart from the Premier League in terms of the quality. And you see that most of the time when teams get promoted. You learn that very, very quickly. Nah, not for me. Not for me. I would not be spending in excess of £30 million on Emi Buendia. And that's what it feels like it's going to take to even bring Norwich City to the table. Method Man says Norwich will not sell Buendia. It's simple, and Arsenal won't pay 40 million upfront cash. Agreed. What else have we got here? Harry Atkinson, one of our members, says I think Buendia would be a very good signing, but too much of a gamble at 40 million. Completely agree. Rydog says Buendia for 40 million while Van der Beek went for 38 is way too much. Anton calls out Edu. He says Edu doesn't have a clue what he's doing. All he can do is pay a release clause or call here and beg for an aging Brazilian. Zod Sinclair says no, he's not worth it. Omar says no, he ain't worth it. Neil Thompson says yes. I'll be interested to know your reasons why, Neil. Why is Emi Buendia, in your opinion, worth that sort of money? And feel free to drop it in the chat and I'll read it out by all means. Freddie says he suggests around 25 million. Michael Grayson, Buendia is not worth that much, 20 million at most. Brad Richardson agrees with me. Brandt is more proven and cheaper. It's a no-brainer. Chris says, Harry, evening. Arsenal in the past have not been the team that would, in the transfer window, bully selling clubs. No, we haven't been, and we haven't been for a long time, but we should be able to bully Championship clubs. It's kind of my point here. You should be able to bully a club in the division below you, I think, into selling a player to you. If you really, really want him. But do we really, really want him? Do we want him so badly that we would pay 35, 40 million pounds? Even 30 million pounds? Nah, not for me. Not for me. Martin says, I don't watch the Championship. Under the current circumstances, though, 30 plus million sounds bonkers. That's exactly what it sounds to me. Mikey Cave says, no, he isn't worth 30 million, mate. I think I would rather go for Grealish, but that will cost way more, I suppose. Yeah, definitely. I can't see Villa wanting to part company with Grealish, particularly after he just signed a new contract not so long ago as well. Julio says, Buendia's a championship player. We need a real baller, not a second division player. Bring us Brandt for 40 million. Steffi says, too much highway robbery. Xander goes on to say, Norwich are in a good position in the league, but if they drop off and do not get promotion, then no premiership money. So perhaps that is in their mind. Yeah, maybe. And selling someone like Emi Buendia would certainly, combat the potential of them falling away and not getting promotion to the Premier League, not making the playoffs, etc. But I think that at this point in the season, if I was Norwich, I'd probably back myself. I really would. Big hello to Thomas and John in the chat, some of our members. John says, Buendia is a top player. I think he will surprise you. Look, I mean, I'm not saying that Emi Buendia doesn't have ability. I'm not saying that he won't go on if he did come to Arsenal or any other Premier League club for that matter to really impress people to do the job that he'd have been brought in to do. I just feel like at a time where we're talking about Arsenal not having a great deal of money, we're talking about Arsenal having to sell to buy, you know, we're talking about we're in the middle of a global pandemic. We're talking about loss of revenues. We're talking about Arsenal having to go and get a £120 million loan from the Bank of England. When you put that all into context, I don't think Arsenal can be risking £40 million on a player unless you can guarantee that he is the right player and you can guarantee that he's going to make an impact. Now, a player that I would say we've signed in recent seasons where the value has been, in my opinion, completely fair. We've not had to pay over the top. The money that we paid felt like a good price because there were no question marks or doubts around whether he was going to be good enough, is Thomas Partey. Now, I know that it hasn't worked out as we'd have all hoped so far because of the injuries that Partey suffered. But in terms of Partey's ability, in terms of the impact he's had in the games he's played, which granted a very few, at no point did I think during the talk of Thomas Partey coming to Arsenal, £45 million is a little bit steep here. At no point did I feel that way about that particular signing. He's someone who'd been proven at the very top level with Atletico Madrid. He'd done it in the Champions League. He displayed it against not just world football, but Spanish football's best sides. So in my view, it was a no-brainer. £45 million on a player like that doesn't feel like such a risk. But to bring in a player for that sort of money, 30, 35, 40, 45 million, for a player who's yet to do it at the top level, feels like a massive risk. And we know that this summer's going to be very different to years gone by in the sense of there are going to be a number of good players available on free transfers. That's been well publicized. But also, as I keep saying, I think the transfer market's going to have a bit of a reset because of everything that's going on. I think players that previously would have cost us an absolute fortune would be within our reach now. Because let's not forget, you know, the Premier League, the Premier League is far better off than some of the other European leagues in terms of the income that the clubs get from TV money. It's spread a lot more evenly than it is in some other countries as well. So there will be other clubs in other countries who, as a result of this pandemic, will be on their knees financially come the summer. And I think that if Arsenal bide their time and don't just jump at the first option that comes, they can go and get a really good quality attacking midfield player for less than that in the summer. And I said on the previous podcast that I'm going to have a bit of a deep dive around Europe and I'm going to come up with some names for you. Unfortunately, work got in my way between that one and this one, but I will get that done for you in the next few days over the course of this week. So stay tuned for that as well. Flo Show says, hi, Harry. I remember you said you would look into it and do an in-depth analysis between Buendia and Brandt as you're not quite decided if Brandt is a good option for Arsenal. I've decided that I'd rather Brandt than Buendia, for me personally, but that's just my personal opinion. He's someone, as I keep saying, played at the very top level. Yes, he's having a bit of a rough time of it now, but if you look at his career overall in the Bundesliga, it's been very, very impressive. German international, played in the Champions League, played in the top league over there, constantly made an impact over the course of his career, bar the last few months where things ain't gone quite right. I would love to see Julian Brandt at Arsenal, and I think that Julian Brandt would be available at a much lower price than Emi Buendia, and that kind of backs up the point I'm making. You will be able to go onto the continent and find players of a higher quality, with more pedigree, with more prestige, with more history, for much less money than it will take to get Emi Buendia out of Norwich City. Just my view. Right, let's see what else some of you guys are saying in the live chat. Don't forget to smash that like button if you haven't already. Subscribe to the channel if you're new. If you're interested in supporting the channel and becoming a member of the Chronicles of Aguna, click the link in the description as well for more information, and it'll take you to the page from which you can sign up. Steffi NYC Guna says, what happened to us going after Tarik Lamptey? To my knowledge, that was never a possibility. Tarik Lamptey is a really big talent, and I was just on the 90 Min gas tank, and one of the questions put to us by some of the viewers was, what player has really impressed you this season that you didn't really expect it from? And for me, Tarik Lamptey is right up there. Really competent fullback, really good going forward, lots of energy. It's been a few sort of injury issues this season, and I don't know if that's a common theme. I wasn't following Tarik Lamptey's career prior to him breaking onto the scene with Brighton this season, so I don't really know too much about his history in that department, but he's somebody I've really enjoyed watching and I think could go on to be a really top right back. Would I like to see him at Arsenal? Of course I would, but to my knowledge, Tarik Lamptey has never been a realistic target for this Arsenal side. You know, Mikel Arteta has Hector Bellerin at the club. He has Cedric at the club. He has Ainsley Maitland-Niles, who can fill in that position. He also has Callum Chambers, who's played in that position on a number of occasions as well. So I don't feel as though right back would be very high up Mikel's priority list at the moment, unless somebody were to leave the club. And by that somebody, I mean Hector Bellerin, who's been linked with a move away. But, you know, I don't think there's any... I don't think there's any truth in that, any legs in that. Cal Sandu says, Fabrizio Romano on Sky claims Brandt will be very difficult this January for Arsenal. Yeah, I've seen that. Romano claims that Dortmund don't sell in January, and he talks about that. And yeah, you know, I get that. It would be a more difficult deal to do. It's just a deal that, well, a more difficult deal to do in terms of trying to persuade Dortmund to part ways with someone in January. But for me, it would be the right deal of the two. John disagrees. John, one of our members. That's absolutely fine, mate. We're here to debate and to discuss. And I look forward to chatting you on one of our upcoming member streams, John, and we can maybe get into it in a little bit more detail. Let's see what else you guys are saying here. I'm going to pick up a few more of your comments before we move on to our next topic. Another question from one of our members, Harry Atkinson. Serious question, off subject, but why on earth does Ainsley Maitland-Niles not get any game time, even in the FA Cup? Strange. Again, we touched on this in the last show. It is strange. It is really strange. And it's even more strange when you consider the fact that Arsenal rejected a bid of around about £15 million for him from Wolverhampton Wanderers in the summer. If you weren't going to play him, if he wasn't going to be part of your plans, if he weren't, you know, looking to use him regularly, then why wouldn't you have taken that money at a time when Arsenal were desperate to sell players? This is all we heard about. Arsenal need to sell. Arsenal need to sell. Bang. Along comes a bid for one of your players, a decent sized bid, £15 to £20 million was the report. And you just turn your nose up at it. Talk about how much of an important player he is in your plans, and then don't use him. So yeah, Harry, you're right. It's a really good question, and you're right to raise it. And I think that it is a strange situation. Perhaps something's gone on behind the scenes. Perhaps his attitude in training hasn't been quite what it is meant to be. And I'm only speculating when I say that, but there have been question marks, haven't there, in the past about Ainsley Maitland-Niles' attitude and that sort of thing. So Yeah, maybe there is more to it than that. Just going back to that Dortmund point about that Fabrizio Romano makes about them not letting players go in January. Oba left in January. Yeah. But with that, there was a whole sort of cycle of transfers, if you remember. Olivier Giroud left Arsenal, went to Chelsea. Michy Batshuayi left Chelsea and went to Dortmund. So they allowed that to happen in January, but only having sorted out a replacement. And that, I think that probably played a big part in that deal being allowed to go through there. But look, every player has their price. You know, saying that clubs don't sell in January, I think is a little bit, what's the right word here? You're making a bit of an assumption by saying that, you know, he definitely won't be allowed to go. I think if the deal is right, then everybody has their price, for me anyway. Going back to that Ainsley Maitland-Niles point, a few of you got some comments to say. Tofa says, Ainsley Maitland-Niles has been treated horribly. I'm sorry, that is what frustrates me. He needs to be moved or sell Bellerin. He has skills and has matured so quickly over the last season. Giovanni makes a really good point. Why does no one get we needed to sell? Because we had too many non-homegrown players. Yeah, it's a good point. John P says, Ainsley Maitland-Niles is for big matches to shut the super wingers down. That's it, sadly. He should leave. Zeus says he's not technically good. He's here because of his physicals. There's some really, really different opinions on that. What else have we got here? JO4 says he's never been consistent for Arsenal. Xander asks if I would consider bringing in Sergio Romero as a backup to Leno. What's the situation with Sergio Romero? Because I'm just going to check this out now. I'm not totally clued up on this. Is his contract at Manchester United coming to an end at the end of the season? If it is, I'd certainly trust Sergio Romero over Runarsson. There's no doubt about that. His contract comes to an end at the end of this season, so we wouldn't be able to get him unless we could agree a transfer fee with Manchester United this month. Will Manchester United want to do business with Arsenal? I'm not so sure. You know, apparently he's on big money as well, as Method Man points that out as well in the comments. So yeah, it's you know, I like the idea of Sergio Romero coming in as a sort of temporary backup to Bern Leno. I think he's better than, as I said, alternative options, i.e. Runarsson. But yeah, it's I think it'll be difficult to get him away from Manchester United. As I said, though, there are a lot of people that are going to become available in the summer on free transfers. Can we find one of them whose club will be willing to let him go now for a small fee and get that bit of business done? Mikel Arteta hinted today in his press conference that they are exploring the possibility of allowing Runarsson to leave the club on loan during this transfer window, which could say that maybe they've got their eyes on some targets. But yeah, those are my takes on that. Just moving on to our final subject before we take some final questions from you guys. Who is Manor Solomon? Now, he's a player that has been linked with Arsenal over the last few days. He's a young Israeli winger, currently plays his football for Shakhtar Donetsk. Scored at the Etihad in November 2019 against Pep Guardiola's side for Shakhtar. And of course, scored the winner for Shakhtar against Real Madrid back in October. Now, according to reports today, Arsenal have been monitoring this player since the summer. He's somebody that Edu is a huge, huge fan of, and somebody that Arsenal see as a long-term target. Just 21 years of age is Manor Solomon. Understood that there was a 20 million euro offer tabled by Atalanta for the player during the summer. But of course, Shakhtar Donetsk rejected that. They feel that he's worth far more than that. His representatives have reportedly said that they would prefer a summer move for their client. But if a club like Arsenal were to come along now, then they would, of course, consider it. I can see some of you in the chat saying you've never heard of him. Who is he? He is a player, as I said, currently applying his trade at Shakhtar Donetsk. I've seen him on the international stage a couple of times as well, playing for Israel. Currently in the Ukrainian Premier League, he scored 3 goals and provided 1 assist in 10 appearances. But perhaps a little bit more impressively, he scored 2 goals in 6 UEFA Champions League appearances during this campaign. So, yeah, he's somebody that Arsenal have been strongly linked with. Check him out on YouTube. I know that doesn't always tell the full story about players, but it is worth having a look at. There are some glimpses of a very, very good player there. As I said, he's already on the radar of some of the Serie A clubs. Atalanta, in particular, having tabled a bid, apparently, but that was rejected. So it's clear that for Shakhtar to part ways with this player, they're going to want more than that. He's shown signs that he's brilliant, but is he the man for Arsenal? Is he a realistic target? Well, we're going to have to wait and see. Mark Ogden says, Harry, what's your thoughts on Rodrigo de Paul as a Buendia alternative? I like Rodrigo de Paul, but this sounds snobbish of me again, but I feel like the fact he was so heavily linked with Leeds United over the summer means that maybe he as a player is not, you know, and the report suggested that he was keen to go as well. Does that suggest that maybe he's not ambitious enough? I mean, obviously playing in the Premier League, he was going to earn more money than he would earn at a club like Udinese, sort of hovering around the middle of the Serie A table. So perhaps that was a factor in it. But yeah, I don't know. I'm not completely sold on Rodrigo de Paul. I've seen lots of him, obviously being covering Italian football as I do, and a player I like, a player that turns up sometimes though, and a player that disappears in other circumstances as well. So that would worry me a little bit about his inconsistency. I think Rodrigo de Paul, if you're going to try and prize him away from Udinese, you're probably looking at around about the £30 million mark, which again feels like a lot. And then I think about whether putting him up against Emi Buendia, what's the kind of pros and cons? Well, De Paul's 26, Buendia's 24, so there's a couple of years difference in there. De Paul, obviously, with more caps for Argentina, etc., etc. He's got 3 goals, 2 assists in Serie A so far this season. Got an assist in the Coppa Italia as well. I don't know. He wouldn't be my ideal alternative to Buendia, but he's an option, yeah, for sure. Great point, mate. Thanks for raising it. Let's see what else you've got. Anton, I love this. Harry will only accept Kevin De Bruyne and Bruno. That's right. You know, set the bar high. Let's set the bar high. Andre says, Solomon is a very interesting player. I watched him a few times last year and he played with a lot of energy and pace. So for all the people that are saying they haven't seen Solomon, there's quite a fair amount of you actually that would be interested in Arsenal exploring that possibility. Chris Castell asks, there are some rumours for Pug. Is that how you say it? I always get this name wrong. From Barca, Harry, what do you think? Again, I've got to be honest, not seen a great deal of him. And as I always say, if it gets to a point where we feel like one of these stories is really gathering enough pace to warrant it, then I will bring somebody onto the channel who can give you guys a little bit more information, a little bit more insight into what those players could potentially bring to Arsenal Football Club. But for the time being, it doesn't feel like there are any legs in that one. So we'll park that for now. Puig is how I say Puig. Have I got that right? I don't know. Whatever. But Rydog says it's Puig. So there you go. That has helped. Thank you. Julio199 says, would you think of Sumare from Lille and Ovio Jaria from Reading? Sorry. No, I wouldn't, if I'm honest. Not two players that are on my radar, but let me know in the chat if others feel that they could be of use to us. Not for me though. They're not players that I would be particularly enthused about or looking to bring in during this summer transfer window. So those are the bits that I wanted to bring to you guys. Matteo Guendouzi, a little bit of an update on that. What's going on with that? My thoughts on that. We've talked about Fabrizio Romano's claim that there is a bid from Arsenal, and his phrase was in the pipeline for Emi Buendia, you know, despite the fact that that is very contradictory to some of the other stuff we've read and heard over the last few days. And of course, we've discussed Manor Solomon, a player being linked with a move to Arsenal at the moment. Now's the time to get your questions in the live chat. Fire away, fill up the chat box. Let's get through a few of those before we wrap up this live edition of the podcast. Don't forget, if you haven't already, make sure you hit the like button. Make sure you subscribe to the channel if you haven't already as well. In fact, let's check in on the likes while you guys have the opportunity to get your questions in the live chat. Let's have a look where we're currently at. We have got over 250 of you watching across the multiple platforms, just 75 likes though. So let's take that up. Let's try and get that to 150 if possible between now and the end of the stream. It really, really does help. We've got 3 dislikes. Apologies, not sure why, but it is what it is. So that's cool. It's all interaction. Right. Let's get some of your questions in. Mikey Cave asks, would you take Zaha, Harry? I feel like if we were going to do that, we had to do it. We had to do it when we signed Nicolas Pepe. I still think Zaha has the ability to impact games. I still think he's a really useful option for Crystal Palace. He's still a player I rate highly. But when you're talking about someone who we know Crystal Palace would want mad money for, and the fact that he's 28 years old, it just puts me off that a little bit. It doesn't feel like it would be a long-term signing. And if, I keep going back to the point that the financial situation of Arsenal isn't great, if Palace are demanding 50, 60 million pounds, and I do believe that their demands will have dropped from what they were asking at the time we signed Nicolas Pepe, but even still, it's still going to be around about 50, 55 million pounds. If that was what Crystal Palace were looking for, I just feel like we've kind of missed the boat on that. You know, at the time he was, 26, 27, probably a little bit more acceptable. But at 28 years old, would I pay 50 million pounds for him right now? No, I probably wouldn't. Although he's had a great season so far, you know, 15 appearances in the Premier League, 8 goals, 2 assists. It's been brilliant for Roy Hodgson's side. And after a bit of a disappointing campaign last time out, he's kind of refound himself, reinvigorated himself. I wouldn't be for that now. No, I wouldn't. Christian Hoover says FIFA rating above 83 and plays in a big league. That's Harry's transfer rules. Love that. No, it's not even that, man. It's not even that. Like, I might look at another Championship player and think that he would do a job for Arsenal, but I just, with Buendia, it's not me being a snob. I genuinely am not sure about him. It's just my view. Lots of you would disagree with it, and that's absolutely fine. But it's that's just where I am on that. Andre says, what do you think of Souček? Would you consider him as a backup or a player to pair with Partey? Souček has had a really good campaign at West Ham United, you know, and I think he's surprised a lot of people by how much of an impact he's had. Obviously, his goal scoring sort of capability as well has propelled him up in a lot of people's minds to a sort of higher level than probably where he should be. Souček has become a bit of a Marouane Fellaini. He's become David Moyes' Marouane Fellaini Mark II in the sense of he's physical, he's solid in the middle of the park, not amazingly gifted when it comes to his technical ability, but he will get in the box, he will win headers, he will make things happen, cause problems for his opponents. So I see Thomas Souček very much like a Marouane Fellaini Mark II, without the great hair, of course. But with Souček, I think you're seeing the best of him because of the role that he's currently playing. I think if he comes into the Arsenal side, you don't see the best of him, where he's going to be asked to get on the ball a little bit more, dictate play. Perhaps there's a little bit less emphasis on set pieces, on getting balls into the penalty area, with the view to winning aerial duels. So I just think that Souček suits David Moyes' team and suits his system down to a T. I think he's been really good and I've been really impressed with him, but I don't think that he is an option for Arsenal. That's my view. What else have we got here? Lots of you talking about the Zaha thing and referring to the comments that Zaha made a few days ago where he revealed that he did have a conversation with Unai Emery. I think we all knew that anyway, but he kind of just made that clear and said that Emery had told him he wanted him to join the club. Sanjeev says, do you think Bruno, and I'm assuming you're talking about Bruno Fernandes, would be rated so highly if not for set pieces, which does amount for half of his goals and assists? He loses the ball way too much for a world-class player. The thing with Bruno Fernandes is you would struggle to think of a player who's come in and had such a big impact on a football team in the last 10 years, the way he has. He's single-handedly dragged Manchester United through games. He's dragged Manchester United into a position now where they could potentially go top of the league very, very soon. A lot of it does come from set pieces. A lot of it does come from penalties. But in terms of the impact that Bruno Fernandes has had, I don't think you can deny that at all. And I think that's why he's rated as a world-class player. I really like the player. I think he's quality. And I think a lot of clubs who have been linked with him in the previous years, Tottenham Hotspur included, really missed the trick by not paying that extra bit, by meeting Sporting Lisbon's demands and getting Bruno Fernandes. I think he's a real talent. I think he's a real leader. And I think he's had a massive impact on this Man United side. And at the end of the day, that's all you can ask for, right? Mikey asks if there's any news on Martinelli, praying he's okay. He says, on Martinelli, we were told by Mikel Arteta earlier today that he will be scanned. He was due for a scan today, so we'll know a little bit more tomorrow. But he did say, which I guess a lot of people are kind of holding on to now, that Martinelli tested yesterday and he was a lot better. Maybe, he didn't say it definitely, but maybe that injury isn't as bad as first feared. Fingers crossed that is the case. Right, let's pick up one more question before we go. Let's pick out a question. Lots of great comments, but I want to pick out a question. Michael Grayson says, who would you rather have right now at left wing, Aubameyang or Zaha? Yeah, look, Zaha obviously is much more suited to that position, has played that position all his career, and has shown that you can get goals from there. Look, Aubameyang's not playing particularly well at the moment, but as I've said previously, you know, he's going through a dip. He hasn't had a dip previously, previous to this period, I mean. And we've got to be fair about that. And I look, my worry now about the whole Aubameyang-Lacazette situation is that Mikel is watching Lacazette link up so brilliantly with these young players in and around the penalty area. He saw it again in the game against Newcastle. Saka into Lacazette, into Smith Rowe, and it ended up with a really important goal. So you're seeing lots and lots of positive things from Lacazette playing at centre forward. But then by the same token, we know how many goals Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang can score. We know what an impact he can have on the side. So you can understand why Mikel was reluctant to just drop him out of the picture, wants him to play his way back into form. And having persuaded him to stay, and with the player having agreed to stay in and putting pen to paper and securing his future and committing his future to Arsenal Football Club, I think that Mikel feels a sense of loyalty to him and would be reluctant to take him out of the side. I would go as far as saying that I don't think Mikel would sign a top left winger if it meant that there was no place in the squad for Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang. After all of those things I've just said, I really feel as though Mikel feels a loyalty to him. Probably rightly so, given he committed his future at a time when he probably was very much sought after. So, I think that, you know, I get why Mikel's view is probably that. And I get why he might feel that is the best way to handle the Aubameyang situation at the moment. Just stick with him, shoehorn him in, hope that he comes good again. I get that. I just hope it isn't to the detriment of the team. Can see some of you in the chat are discussing the FA Cup draw. I'll come on to give you some information about that in just a minute. But while I do that, if you could spam the chat box with where it is you're joining us from, I'll give you guys a shout out before we end this live edition of the podcast. Going back to the FA Cup draw, it's scheduled to take place at 7:10, 7:15, something around there tonight. So we will find out our fate on who we're going to be playing in the next round. Of course, the fourth round. I am going to be live on the Same Old Arsenal podcast at that time. So there will be no live stream reacting to that, but we will react to that draw on tomorrow's first broadcast. So make sure you are subscribed. If you haven't already, make sure you hit the like button. And just a quick final reminder, because I've seen a couple of comments coming through on Twitch. For those of you watching us over there, asking how you can become members, the membership is only available on YouTube. So if you hit our YouTube channel, if you're signed into your account and you're on our landing page, you'll see a massive join button, which is next to the subscribe button. You can click on that. It'll give you details of the tiers available to you, and you can make a decision as to whether or not you feel it's worth signing up. You'll also find a video on the channel, an introduction to the Chronicles of Aguna membership that was posted on Saturday. If you go to the community tab, I've posted it there again, so you guys will be able to find it there easily. Watch the video if you want to understand why it is that we're doing it, and see what you think. If you decide to sign up, great. If you don't, absolutely no hard feelings at all. And we will continue to have our discussions and conversations on a daily basis as we are doing so now. But if you can sign up, if you want to sign up, your support will not go unappreciated. I promise you that. Right. David Arsenal says the Discord link expired. I think I posted another one today, mate, but I'll double check on that and make sure that you've got the right link so that you can jump into the chat, seeing as you are now one of our members. Right. Let's check in where you guys join us from. Zeus joins us from India. AFC High joins us from Woolwich. Anton is in Charlton. Rydog is in Vancouver Island, British Columbia. Jeff is far outside Chicago. Mark is in Singapore. Captain Caramello is in Newcastle, Australia. He's an Aussie Gooner. Mikey Cave says, I've smashed you a like and subscribe, bro. Big up to you. Thank you so much, mate. Louis joins us from Sunderland. Ben Taylor joins us from sunny Sussex. What else have we got here? Jeff says to become a member, you need to be on your computer, not the phone app. That I probably should have said that. I didn't even know that was the case, to be honest. But yeah, you need to be on your computer, laptop, whatever it is, to be able to find that. Niall Lewis joins us from Orange County, New York, live and direct. He says he enjoys the show. Thank you so much. Omar joins us from his usual place. Thank you very much, mate. Michael Grayson is in North Carolina, USA. Brad is in York. Mikey is in Birmingham in the Midlands. Kevin Franks is in Pyongyang. I don't know if that is him pulling my leg or if that's right. Justin joins us from Melbourne. Charlie says, where are you from, Palmer's Greek or Southgate? Down the road from Palmer's Green, to be fair, and Southgate, to be honest. Good guess. Shireen joins us from Jamaica. Dan the Man joins us from Hackney. And Peter Helmore joins us from Sydney. He's not a Gunners fan, but still taking the time to join us. So thank you so much for that. Cylinders in Jamaica, Lompreys in Sierra Leone, and Archangel is in Melbourne. Big thank you to every single one of you for your continued support. Check out the show we've done earlier today if you haven't seen it already. If you're listening via the audio, make sure you subscribe. Leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts if that's where you listen from. Make sure you leave a comment as well, because that helps along with the actual reviewing process itself, where you just click the number of stars. Thank you all in advance for your support. Check out the membership proposition if you're interested, and we'll be back very, very soon with more. Until then, take care. Have a good evening.
Listening to the Chronicles of Aguna, the Arsenal podcast.
I'm Martin Tyler, and you're listening to Harry Simeon.